This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
I'm not even trying to sound like a prophet or an oracle of some sort, but dude, it was going back to before I was even traded here. I had a dream that I was going to get traded here. I told my wife, I was like, hopefully I get traded there. We signed a guy like Bregman. I don't know where he's going to play positionally, but we signed a guy like Bregman just because that's someone that I've admired. It's similar to Bueller. It was like, man, it would be really cool to share the locker room with a guy like that. He's won a couple World Series. You know, he's really done it all. And to see it all come to fruition,
wait, so I got traded here. And then,
was this a legit dream?
Yes. Well, he wasn't part of the dream. I dreamed that I was traded over here.
Step one.
So right after I dreamed that, I was like, okay, so if I go over there, what does it look like? And I was like, signing a guy like that would be pretty badass. And to see it all coming into play now is it's really cool.
That's new Red Sox ace Garrett Crochet with the Dreamweaver.
I love it. Also,
Rob Bradford.
Very confused.
Yeah.
I really love where that was going. Guy's super into it. He loves Bregman. He dreamed about it. Well, not him.
I said, what did you dream about?
I dreamed about Bregman coming to the Red Sox. You dreamed about Bregman? No. You just told me that you did.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask Bradford about
that. It's a turn of phrase is what it is. But Bradford was very fascinated by the dream aspect.
This is good juice, though, in all seriousness. Yes. Whether he dreamed about it or not, or thought about it or not, or told his wife or not, I don't know. Maybe just tell him. Bradford gets a lot out of these guys.
He really does.
Bradford knows how to.
Well, you know what? It helps when you come in going, baseball isn't boring. That helps. That's like an open invite. You go in knowing he's going to be very interested in what you're talking about.
That soundbite wasn't boring.
No, it wasn't boring at all.
Tell you that much.
So we have Brad Foe on the way about a half hour from now. All your thoughts on the Red Sox and this move at 617-779-7937. It makes me a little more excited for Garrett Crochet at the top of the rotation, knowing they have a more balanced lineup.
And a six-man rotation.
And a six-man rotation.
Yeah.
I would feel real good if they piggybacked later on in spring training with an announcement about a Garrett Crochet extension. Although when he was talking to the media the other day, maybe we can get some of this out of Brad Foe coming up. When he was talking to the media the other day, he's like, well, on the one hand, you want to sign. On the other, you don't want to box yourself in. You want to get out there and check some boxes and go into a contract year or 1 year away from a contract year to really show what you're worth.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to sign a 3-year deal.
I don't think so either, but I feel good about it if they did, is my point.
Sure.
And I do think, as excited as we were at the time of the deal, we all kind of moved on from that. And the Red Sox increasing their margin for error, we just talked about it. Now maybe they are the best team in the division, although someone on the text line mocked that.
They don't like that.
617-779-7937. Best team in the division. LMAOOOO.
What do all those O's mean?
It's an Usher song, I think, is what that is. So not everybody agrees with that. That's fine.
They don't like that?
But move at the top of the rotation and how much that can change a team on its own, independent of the Bregman signing. I mean, you can change this team a lot with an ace and a guy who pitches every fifth, or in the Red Sox case, maybe sixth day. And then you add the Bregman bat on top of it. Those are reasons to feel pretty bullish on the Red Sox.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I love the Yankees lineup outside of Aaron Judge.
It's a one-man lineup.
That's what I'm saying.
Stanton plays every other month.
Right. When Stanton's out there, he'll run into a couple of home runs, but it has as much to do with the other teams getting worse as it does you getting better. Like, those teams
Yeah, they've come back to you a little bit, and you've gotten a little better. Yeah.
It's like if Max Fried is awesome, then okay, maybe the Yankees are pretty good. But right now it's, what, Cole, Fried, Rodon, and then like Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil versus Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler, Hauk Crawford, Giolito, Bayo. Like, I don't know. You know, high-end Cole is obviously great. Red Sox have had their success against him, though, right? Red Sox have smacked him around. Yeah, but the point is, it's not crazy to say they could win the division. Like, I don't know how you could have a ton of confidence in the Yankees or a ton of confidence in the even the Orioles right now.
Me neither. Text line also says, do we have a legitimate closer? Are they planning on using Chapman?
Good question.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday, and it does, you know, amplify that need on the team as well. So you go in with a better rotation.
Two closers. To steal a Robert Kraft phrase.
As Robert Kraft would say, there's actually two closers on this team. You know, your lineup is better, certainly, I think, than a year ago. Yesterday, we were lamenting that. We're like, well, no Tyler O'Neill, who's the right-handed bat, who's going to bop you 25, 30 home runs. Well, there it is, and it's on the infield. It's a more balanced team, it feels like. So,
better lineup than the Yankees?
Oh, I think definitely a better lineup than the Yankees. I would still give the Yankees the edge in the rotation, but better lineup than the Yankees for sure.
Yeah.
So, right, it does amplify the issue they have at the back end of games. Like, if you start blowing games in April and May, because you're going closer by committee and you don't have defined roles or the guys just aren't good enough back there, that's a need, but that is also a box you can check in season. Trading for a reliever is something you can
do. But there is a chance, you know, somebody in the Twitch chat is talking about, like, why would Hendricks get passed over? And Hendricks was fantastic, but it was years ago. And so it's sort of
you have no
idea. What's he going to look
like? If he comes back and looks like the guy pre-injury, then he's your closer. But but to just go into the year assuming he's the guy,
that's the tricky part. I think
that's dangerous when you have no idea how he's going to pitch.
But I think it seems like you kind of go about it, and however Cora and the whole front office, I guess, decide to go with it. You know, opening day, there's a save situation. Like, does Chapman get the eighth and Hendricks get the ninth, or does it depend on who's up and all that other stuff? But as the first couple of months go on, and let's say Chapman's your setup guy and he's lights out and Hendricks is struggling, all right, then you switch him. Like, so maybe they're thinking, we have these two. You don't have one defined guy to start, but whoever's pitching better will end up sort of winning the job as the season goes on. Because those guys have both done it. Like, they're both older. They have a ton of career saves and ninth inning experience.
That's what the Pirates did last year with Chapman. Bednar wasn't good. They kicked him out, put Chapman in the
club. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't feel good about Chapman at the end of games, but it's at least an option and a guy who's done it before. I also think, again, if you're willing to spend and overpay at the deadline, relievers always move. So you have to overpay for them, but relievers always move.
That's
so
true.
If you believe in the Red Sox and this is them turning over a new leaf, and this is what the Red Sox are now, and this is how John Henry's going to act because they can feel that they're closer to a world championship or whatever, well, then I'd give them the benefit of the doubt on that. I'm not sure the Red Sox deserve that benefit of the doubt just yet. But why did the Red Sox do this now, Keith? Like, why February deadline spur action? Pitchers and catchers just reported. You have your first full team workout next week. So maybe it's that. Maybe it was the outside pressure.
Yeah,
maybe they sense. Zach popped in the last break and he said maybe there's a sense where the Red Sox feel like they can pick up some market share in this town. It's like the Patriots are kind of down.
Yeah,
let's try to swoop in while the Pats are down.
Football's over. Focus is on this. No, it might be the boring answer. I think it had more to do with Bregman. I think Bregman was getting all his offers. He was pretty firm for a while. At least the reports were that he wanted a long-term deal. He wasn't going to settle. And then you saw the four teams interested. Two of them took. Or Red Sox and who's the other team that took the same approach and said, all right, we're going to go 3 years. We're going to give you we're going to spike the average annual value.
Was it Toronto?
No.
Who was it? I'll look it up. Keep going.
Maybe it was the Astros. So it was the Astros, Tigers, Red Sox, and Blue Jays were the four interested.
I thought it doesn't really matter. The Blue Jays were the other high AAV team. The Tigers laid out 6 years, 170.
So the point is he had 2 6-year offers on the table, 2 3-year offers on the table. None of the deals were the exact same, and it might have just come down to him. And he says, like, hey, I'm in no rush. I'm not going to sign a deal on Christmas or on New Year's, but I also don't want to be the guy like Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery last year and show up 2 days before camp. I wonder if part of it was him being like, all right, camp starting, I need to be in camp.
Good point. It could be that. Like, I think it's the Red Sox that bent the knee personally, but it absolutely could be that. I don't know.
But he might, both can be true. He could be like, I need everybody's final offer by Valentine's Day because I want to be in a camp.
Yeah, and just to localize it, and you brought up some names throughout baseball, you don't want to be Jeremy Swayman coming back one game into the year.
No.
Where you didn't have an offseason, and you're when I say out of shape, I don't think Swayman's overweight or anything, but you're not in playing shape. It clearly he wasn't ready to go to start the year. He's still feeling it out. That lost offseason was important. So Bregman's going to be on time when the full squad gets there next week, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So maybe it is that. I'm guessing it's the Red Sox that bent the knee to a degree. Maybe it was just getting in that best offer and upping the AAV by $10 million over any other offer, as was reported. Do you think this is what the Red Sox are now? Does this represent a shift in the Red Sox where this is how they're going to do business, or is this a one-off?
So I think it's going to be kind of case by case because they signed a couple years ago Rafael Devers to a massive deal, and that really feels like a one-off, but it's also one where you can kind of point back to it and be like, well, we did do that. And so with Bregman, like Bregman's also kind of, you know, almost like the perfect kind of, or I don't know how to describe it. The fact that like he played for Cora, they needed a righty bat. Like he happened to be available at this time. Like there, a lot of things kind of fell into place for this one to happen. So I think like they still are going to be hopefully somewhere between the 5th and 10th highest payroll in baseball. I don't think they're going to be knocking on the heels of like the Dodgers or the Yankees anytime soon, but at least they should get some of these guys year in and year out at some point.
Not to keep referencing this, but I heard it was most of my drive. He was on for a while this morning. I heard Baseball Brett. And
he had a good hit today.
He did. And he said, well, I mean, even when they weren't spending, they were still 11th or 12th in baseball.
I'm like, that's bad. You
that's
don't
a
be
joke.
That, you don't want to be that low.
11th or 12th in baseball is a joke. And now with this, his math, I haven't done it, but his math was like they're the 5th or 6th highest spending team now, which is still too low.
Yeah.
But that is admittedly more respectable just on this Bregman contract alone for the short term the next couple of years. This is where I'm going to draw the line. I will not say the Red Sox are back. This is a new way of doing business, and they're going to start acting this way until they prioritize someone in the offseason.
No.
Because you cannot say Bregman was prioritized. They wanted him. Maybe they held their number. Maybe they broke him. Maybe it was smart business, but they were also willing, risking losing him by waiting until February. So until they start signing guys early in free agency, outmaneuvering people for it, I'm not going to say they're back to their old ways, but this is a positive step. I will acknowledge that.
Yeah, I think like you can say they're back in for this season. They're back in for
they're
a better competitive
team.
Baseball
but
season.
I'm talking now from a business standpoint. Are they back?
Well, I don't know. Like, how confident are you that Garrett Crochet, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell?
Text line is right. I'm sorry to interrupt. It was the Cubs. It wasn't Toronto.
Cubs.
It was the Cubs. Thank
you.
Sorry.
Cubs. So you had, yeah, and actually, I think the text is right. It was 4 years from the Cubs. So you had 2 6-years, a 4, and a 3. And the 4-year deal is actually the same amount of money as the 3-year deal. So you do the math. I don't know about the opt outs and all those deals, but still, he had 4 different contracts kind of in front of him at one point. And he and his agent said, all right, we'll take this one. Even though, you know, you sort of put out there that you want a long term deal, you're getting everybody's best offers. And then you get this one, and he has the flexibility to leave after each year, if he wants. If he plays really well, maybe there will be a long-term deal waiting for him for somebody, you know, the following season. But my point was, the other thing with this team
with
that we
prospects.
Don't know is the young guys, even Duran and Casas, let alone the guys that we haven't even seen yet, and Crochet, if they're all as good as we expect them to be or hope for them to be, how many of them stick around? How many of them are Rafael Devers versus Mookie Betts? Like, that's the other thing, because those guys could command massive, massive contracts. You might also have a chance to get to them before they hit free agency. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to, at some point, if a guy comes, not Bregman, but if somebody else comes to you and says, yeah, I want a 10-year deal. Like, you know, the Padres gave Fernando Tatis like a 14-year deal. Like, if somebody comes to you with that, are you even entertaining that?
I mean, they paid Bayo.
But they got
to him early.
True.
And by the way,
maybe
good job.
Mistake.
Good job by Mayo. Good contract for him.
Yeah.
They have
That's
not worked
true.
One out with Casas yet.
Nope.
And they've sat down and Casas basically laughed in their face.
And they fought over $200,000 with Jaron Duran.
Thank you. So now those are the kind of things where if you're leaping to say the Red Sox are back in that way, where the business is back and John Henry's going to start acting differently, that I'm not sold on.
Yeah.
This is a positive step. I'm happy with it.
Yes.
But I need to see way, way more before I declare that. But for this year, are they back on the field? And are they back to being a playoff team and maybe a contender? Yeah, I think they're back in that way for sure. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. You can jump in here before we talk to Rob Bradford about 15 minutes from now. Paul's on the Cape. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi. You know, I'm really excited about this Bregman deal, but only if he plays third base. I don't see any sense of it if they move him to second base and he blocks what could be a couple of good young players and keep that defensive liability at third. So I'd just like to hear what you guys think about the look of the team with Bregman at third and or Bregman at second? And a related question, what are the options with Yoshida if they put Bregman at third?
What are the options? They can nail his ass to the bench, or they can trade him somewhere, or if it's Devers at third and Bregman at second, that's a way to get Yoshida into the lineup. I prefer Bregman at third base over second.
Same.
But when he says, what's the point of it, I'll draw the line there. I'll say the point is, you got your best right hand. Who was the best right-handed bat on the team before the signing? Story?
Trevor Story.
So you had an okay, not even a good
Rob
one.
Rob Refsnyder guy.
Yeah, maybe. Like an okay.
Against lefties specifically.
You had an okay right-handed bat until the marathon. And then you're going to lose that right-handed bat. So there was still a point to signing this guy. That's all.
And also, I don't know if Bregman's necessarily blocking a good young player as much as the Red Sox may block a good young player. So opening day, if they didn't have Bregman, I want Christian Campbell to play second base, but don't you think it would be like Vaughn Grissom or Rafaela, maybe, depending on where they put him?
They're
going to
center
or
manipulate the service time and keep him in the minors. And
it's not Bregman doing that. So, but I'm with him, and we'll say this, I guess, you know, every 20 minutes, people tuning in. Like, I love Bregman playing third base. I very much like him on the team, but you could make the move even better by playing him at third base. But at least in the early going, it doesn't seem like they're going to do that.
How much do you think they needed the leadership, professional, winner, champion? How much do you think they needed that stuff, like the intangible stuff with Bregman that I think he brings to the table?
I think a lot. I think kind of a lot, because if you look at the team, and that's why maybe this Netflix thing will be kind of interesting to watch, maybe, like the documentary about the team from last year.
Yeah, where?
It's because it's just all Casas yelling
at himself. Tristan Casas just screaming at himself, but like, self-flagellating.
But like you look around the team, they don't really have a lot of leaders. They certainly don't have a lot of guys that have had playoff success and World Series wins. Like a lot of young guys you're relying on. Rafael Devers is not comfortable in that role. Trevor Story is always hurt. So where is it coming from? Last year, you thought maybe it was coming from Kenley Jansen. Then it turns out, like, no, he was just like a bad teammate.
Yep.
So, no, sometimes that can be a little bit overrated. But in this case, it's not. Man, the parallels between the Red Sox and the Patriots are very significant. Not just about the money being spent, but, like, that's also a team that just needs a couple pros.
You see Mike Reese's tweet this morning? Mike Reese. Thinking out loud, R.E., the Red Sox and Alex Bregman, as it relates to the Patriots and free agency. It's not just quoting Ed Sheeran there. Sometimes you have to pay more, especially when there's a notable talent and championship pedigree gap compared to top contenders. Can still be strategic in doing so, i.e. short-term deal. Hashtag let it rip.
Let it. Wait, what?
That's a bear shout-out, I think.
Hashtag let it rip?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think.
Hashtag fill to fill.
I fill to fill.
Gross.
Hashtag love is not logical.
No, but I think
it's important for this team, definitely.
There's a parallel with both these teams. Their brand has taken such a hit with probably agents, you know, where they look at it and go, yeah, I'm not going to tell my guy to go there where you're not winning, you're not competitive, you don't pay anybody, you've fallen off so far. Like, you're standing within the game. The Patriots are in the NFL. The Red Sox are in Major League Baseball has taken such a hit. The brand has taken such a hit. Where now, to get players to come here, you have to overpay. You'll always get players if you overpay. Always. In every single sport.
I'll do you one better.
And so these teams are both in the same spot there. You're right.
Alex Bregman is Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is Alex Bregman. Spider-Man meme. They both fill a need.
You like Cooper Kupp much more than you like Alex Bregman, which is weird because Bregman at one time was good, just like at one time Cooper Kupp was good.
Cooper Kupp was great. Cooper Kupp had the greatest wide receiver season in the history of the sport. Alex Bregman had a runner-up MVP season.
I've heard. What did he do again that year?
Led the lead. He had the receiver triple crown.
Right.
Won a Super Bowl. Yep. Won a Super Bowl MVP.
I've heard
no
this,
one's
yes.
ever done that before
right,
in the
right.
history of the great sport right. of football. So I think he deserves a lot of credit. Hats and helmets off to Cooper
Kupp.
Oh,
you give him a lot of credit.
He's the best player of all time. Meanwhile, it just because he fits a need, right? So Bregman fits a need, just like the player, just like Cooper Kupp fits a need, the player. But then also what they could do to the locker room and have got not a lot. Like I said, he's. Both have won at the absolute highest level. Both still have something left in the tank, although maybe not, you know, the previous seasons that they've had. So, yeah, that's maybe the perfect analogy.
Good point by the text line as well. Well, or let me spin off their point. They say, why is Devers on the team if he doesn't provide leadership?
I mean, not everybody can.
But this is why the Bregman move is important as well. It's like you have Walker Buehler on the pitching side, a guy who has pitched in big games and won. You have Bregman now in the lineup. We're not, Rafael Devers does not have to be elite. He does not have to be the face of the team.
No.
He's on the team for like 30 dingers and 120 RBI. Yeah. That's why he's on
so
the
just,
team.
So just go. Manny Ramirez was this way. Not to say that Devers is Manny Ramirez.
No, I get it.
But Manny's not a leader. You need to get guys in who are going to be the face of the team and be responsible and stand out in front and face the music. And Devers would, number one, it's not his native language. Number two, he would hide and he wasn't going to stand there and face the music.
Oh, after like losing streaks, he wouldn't even be there.
He dodged the media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I don't fully know Bregman and forget the media aspect of it. It's just who's going to be the leader of the team?
No, you're making somebody else speak for the losing streak or are you going to stand up there and
Bregman's going to lead the bats. Bueller's going to lead the rotation. Yeah. You know, I think from a leadership standpoint, he's not their best pitcher.
No, no.
But now you have guys who have been there and done that. And I think that slots everybody else in the proper place.
Things are looking up.
They are looking up.
I mean, the first game? Like, hurry up. Let's get there.
I think Greg said their first spring training game is next week, right, on the Odyssey app.
Is that Northeastern?
Well, their first real game is that, which I took as a slight to Northeastern.
Not the Husky game?
No, no, well, he said their first real game, so he skipped right over.
Probably Twins, LeMaire's Cup.
The BC Northeastern doubleheader they play there.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a classic.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think it was the Rays, not the Mayor's Cup against the Twins.
Yeah, the Rays. Yep. February 22nd.
Rays. February 20th. Is that next week?
Yeah. That's a week from Saturday.
There you go.
I believe.
So there you go. There's your first game. You can hear it on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free. Easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You know what else is on the Odyssey app?
What's that?
The very, very fine Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with Rob Bradford. Mm-hmm. Great timing for Bradfo to make his first appearance on Jones and Keefe. We'll check in with him right after Trending with Billy Laney.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox and infielder Alex Bregman have reached an agreement on a 3-year contract worth $120 million. The deal includes opt-out options after the first and second seasons. In 145 games last season, Bregman batted .260 with 26 home runs and 75 RBIs and 581 at-bats. Former Sox pitcher Nick Pivetta has signed with the San Diego Padres on a 4-year deal worth $55 million. The Celtics ended the All-Star break on a 3-game winning streak after last night's 116-103 victory over the Spurs at the Garden. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 32 points and 14 rebounds. Tatum also had 7 assists. The Seas have a record of 39-16 and are currently 5.5 games behind the Cavaliers for the top seed in the Eastern Conference. And Brad Marchand scored in Team Canada's 4-3 overtime win over Team Sweden in last night's Four Nations face-off tournament opener. Tonight, Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Swayman, and Team USA take on Team Finland. Puck drop from the Bell Center in Montreal is at 8 o'clock, and this game can be seen on ESPN. With a 98% customer satisfaction rating and thousands of 5-star reviews, the choice is clear. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Busy day out there for your Boston Red Sox. More proof that baseball, Keefe, is in fact not boring.
Never is.
Red Sox get Alex Bregman, 3 years, $120 million, bunch of deferred money, opt-outs after years one and two. For more on all of it, we welcome him, Rob Bradford, WEEI, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, which you can find on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Listen to Rob there. Rob Bradford, welcome to Jones and Keefe. How you doing?
McFarland, my friends, McFarland.
McFarland to you.
Yeah, yes. Everyone yell McFarland, yeah. So it's a great day to yell McFarland, and also yay baseball. We finally have something. I told you on after one Soto day that this was going to be the guy that they target. And through the roller coaster ride, sure enough, we landed with Alex Bregman. So there you go. I told you.
Okay. Wow. In our face.
Did you have seriously egg all over our
in
faces?
In your face.
Are the reports, Bradfo, about him playing second base? Is that accurate? Because that's if me and Keith, well, I'll tell you right now, both love this deal. I've been wanting him to sign Bregman since early in free agency. I guess in retrospect, I'm okay waiting, and that it took so long, even though I was annoyed in the meantime. But my real nitpicking gripe is him at second base instead of third. Is that accurate? And why are they doing that? If so.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that when we first started talking about it, we've talked about the nine boxes that it checks off, and I think second base, bizarrely, is one of them because, yes, he wasn't a second baseman, and yes, you're keeping Rafael Devers at third base, but he was a college shortstop. Everybody believes, he can be a really, really good second baseman. I don't think there's any question that he's going to upgrade defensively at second base, but it's a legitimate thing and something that we've talked about with Devers, that you're giving Devers another kick at the can here at third base. But I do think this is how it's going to play out, where you have this guy for 3 years, unless he insanely opts out of a $40 million a year contract. And you go through this year, you say to Devers, all right, you have Trevor Story at shortstop, be better defensively. You keep saying you're going to be, all right, be better defensively. And if you aren't, then next year, you move Bregman over to third. You put one of these kids at second baseman who are Christian Campbell or Marcelo Meyer, and you do whatever with Devers, DH, or you do something with Cassis. And I think that is one of the many reasons why I think a lot of this made sense to me. And so I hope I answered your question, but I get, you know, the whole thing, okay, why are you keeping Devers at third? Well, you know, they were always going to prioritize giving him another shot there.
How good does this make the team? Like playoffs for sure? Can they win the division? Like what are we talking about now?
Yeah, man. Like I said this, that it just feels to me, there hasn't been a lot of free agents where it wasn't a luxury item. Like this isn't Jordan Montgomery. This isn't one of these guys who, yeah, you like the idea of signing him because it shows you're in the big boy club. Yeah, it does that. But what to me it does, it's a very real fit because of the position he's going to play, because of the offensive player that he is, because of the presence he's going to have in that clubhouse, which I do think they need. You need some 30-something guys who sort of are the voice in the clubhouse. And also, guys, let's be honest. I mean, it's good for business for the Red Sox, which I didn't understand all along why they weren't seeing something like this. It changes the narrative. You started with the Crochet thing, but that was almost like the supersize me guy eating a Big Mac, feeling good for 50 minutes, and then like lounging on his couch, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what it felt like with the Crochet thing. Everyone was like, oh, that's great. And then, okay, when are you going to sign somebody and spend some money? But here you are. You're paying a guy $40 million a year or whatever, $30 million with deferred. You're allocating resources. You're showing people that you actually care in terms of being part of the big boys club in Major League Baseball. And by the way, the American League isn't very good. So all of a sudden, you have to be considered with the Yankees as the two favorites, I think, in the American League. All of that is really good for business.
You were talking about Morgan Spurlock.
Spurlock.
He's dead. You know the scene that I was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where he was off the walls after eating his McDonald's, and then 50 minutes later, he's like in a food coma. Yeah.
Well, now he's in a food coma in the sky because
sadly
passed last
year. I want to go there. Thank you.
Sure.
For telling
you brought him up, Rob.
Before I forget, one of my favorite segments that you guys do is obviously baseball related. The random baseball player of the day, right? Yeah. I love it.
I was just gonna go here, Bradfo, with a Morgan. I thought I was gonna say Morgan Ensberg, maybe a random baseball player of the day, Morgan Ensberg.
Oh, Morgan Burkhart.
Morgan Burkhart, great one.
Yeah, which by the way, one executive said his best tool is a fork, which I always thought was great.
Same with Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I do think an exercise we can do going through spring training is the random spring training invitee on the Red Sox clubhouse.
Oh.
Because you walk in there and you know, and I can start. We can do this at the end or whatever. but I could give you one, and you guys can guess who it
we
is.
We got to guess a guy on the Red Sox roster? We're not going to get that. The 40th guy on the roster?
Well, this is bizarre. You know, when you walk in the spring training clubhouse right now, it's a trillion people. And half of them, you know, half of them you don't know. This is the first time, bizarrely, since I've been coming here, that usually they have the position players on the left and the pitchers on the right. Now the pitchers have leaked into the left, and that tells you there's a crap load of pitchers here.
Wow.
Sorry. There you go.
A lot of pitchers.
Save that one, Renee.
Yeah. So they're leaking all over the clubhouse.
Red Sox pitchers leaking to the left.
This is another issue that they're going to have for sure. What pushed this over the finish line? I heard Breslow say yesterday or the day prior, yeah, it takes two to tango on these deals. Somebody ultimately has to give. What pushed this over the finish line?
Yeah, so what I had been hearing, when let's go back a couple of weeks, the Houston Astros, there's reports that come out, hey, the six-year deal's on the table. He won 6 years. He likes Houston. Altuve's like, there's these grainy footages of him, of Altuve in the outfield working out. So you're like, oh, he's going back to Houston. And then you don't hear anything. And that was weird. So then what I heard was the Red Sox, yeah, they obviously were in it, but they were in it with the money, but not the year. So you're waiting for a team, are they going to step up for the years? And you heard, well, maybe Toronto will do it. Detroit really, really wanted him. But those are two places I don't think he wanted to go. And I think the Red Sox knew that, and the Red Sox were banking on that. Then you get to the Cubs, where he probably wouldn't mind going, but ultimately they're financially more strained than the Red Sox. So they offer basically the same thing, but with not as much for annual value one more year. So the Red Sox played the market right, I think, all along. It was a little bit of a risk that he wasn't going to go to Detroit, but I don't think he wanted to go to Detroit. Man, that's what it comes down to. And with the Houston thing, I don't have any proof of this, but I've seen it happen before, where sometimes teams, when they have iconic players or players they like, and they're struggling in the free agent market, they leak it out. They said, hey, you know what? Yeah, sure, we're interested. Sure, we're interested. But is it a real offer? I don't know. So I think the Red Sox, this is why this fell to them, and good for them for understanding the market.
Question Jones has been asking this morning, do you think they're done, or is this the could they possibly add somebody before things get going?
No, I think this is pretty much it. I mean, I might be wrong, but in terms of looking at what else they have, I will say this. I'll take that back. They still probably are looking for a reliever. Now, Breslow said on the Baseballs and Boring show on the weekend, he said, though that guy doesn't necessarily have to have closing experience. So there's guys like David Robertson out there, Kyle Finnegan out there. So you're probably still going to get a relief pitcher who can pitch late in games, but that I think is the last sort of piece of the puzzle.
Do you think this represents a shift in the way the Red Sox are doing business going forward? Like, I agree with you. I think they're a better team. Maybe they're the best team in the division with the Yankees. So I agree with all that, and this is a Red Sox are back kind of move for this year. Are they back to doing business the way they used to, or is this a one-off?
No, I think that they are, but this comes back to how frustrating it's been, because the ownership, as we've articulated before, they seem to be chasing their tail way too many times, going back to, oh, we didn't get Jose Abreu, this next, get the next best Cuban guy, who's Nick Castillo, you know, that sort of thing. Oh, we lose John Lester. Let's pay $40 million and more than anyone else in David Price. Oh, we like the way Tampa does things. Let's go hire someone from Tampa and Heim Bloom. Like that sort of thing. And now I think they just reached the point where they understood, like, if for business to exist in this world of baseball, you have to do this. Like, you have to do this. In Boston, you guys know. You do this show all the time. You get the pulse of what's going on. You know the way it was trending, even after the Crochet deal. So I do think that they, with this, allocating this much many resources to this one guy tells you, yes, this is a new philosophy. This is a new way of doing things, and it's the right way of doing things. Let's be honest, because you shouldn't be relying on these prospects, no matter how high they're ranked.
Talk yesterday about a six-man rotation. Is that just something you say right now as the guys show up and you have six guys that really think they should be in the rotation and then you whittle that down when the season starts? Or could they legitimately go through the year with a six-man rotation?
I think it's a nice, like, talking point for spring training. But then when you get into the season, you figure out the schedule, how many off days there are, who's hurt, who needs time. You know, yeah, there might be time where you have a six-man rotation, and they obviously have six starters. But I love the overreaction to spring training stuff, like whether it's six-man rotation stuff, you know, the Jackie Bradley spring training where he's hitting 800 and makes the team. There's always a guy, right? Mm-hmm. Which is one of the great things about this. Every year we say we're not going to get sucked in, and we always get sucked in. And look, Sadon Rafael last year, you know, he's going to be an all-star. Well, okay, he was okay, but he wasn't as good as he was when hitting 85-mile-an-hour straight balls in spring training. So, yeah, I think six-man rotation sort of falls under that.
Okay, he's Rob Bradford. You can check him out, weei.com. You can check him out on the Odyssey app, Baseball Isn't Boring, podcast there. Talk to Garrett Crochet about his extensive dreaming of Alex Bregman.
Yeah, that was deep.
Oh, what a story that is.
It really.
Yeah, go listen to that.
It really was. Yeah. We played a clip from it earlier today. You can go seek that out. And Bradfo, what do you say next week? We'll start our random spring training invitee of the week. Is that what we're doing?
That's going to be tough.
Okay. I'm going to give you a whole week to think about. I'll give you this player is in the Red Sox clubhouse right now, and he has a record for hitting the most batsmen. In a single year.
The most hit batsman in a single year.
All right, Aroldis Chapman.
No. Good guess. Good effort.
Thank you.
All right, we'll Google that between now and next week. Bradfo, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. I'll see you guys. Thanks.
Bradford, as all our guests joining us here on WEEI. Most hit batsman. Good guess on Chapman.
I remember in Little League, I was catching for a kid who threw absolute gas. Yeah. Didn't know where it was going. He threw a no-hitter. He hit six guys.
Oh, wow.
Like, hard. Like, he threw heat. Didn't know where it was going. Gave up a couple of runs just because he's, like, walking guys and hitting guys.
It's like the A.J. Burnett of Gosstown.
And I still remember there was, like, the coach the manager on the other team after, like, the third or fourth hit batsman was just like, what are we doing? Like, are we keeping this guy? Like, you're keeping him out there? Like, well, he hasn't given up a hit.
I mean, the guy's a machine. What, you got to take him out? Out of a no-hitter?
3-2 or something we won. The guy didn't give up a hit. You're like, what the hell was that? Yeah, no idea where it was going, but just threw hard.
So we'll get some answers for Brad. Yeah, random spring training invitee.
There's no chance. It's like zero chance.
I have trouble getting like five-time All-Stars from a decade ago. I don't know that I'm going to get some guy I've never heard of. But we'll try it. Look, we're going to try it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bradfo's not afraid to come on the show, so let's reward him with something, Keith.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Some people are afraid to come on the show. What do you want?
That has happened.
We'll get to more of your feedback. We're going to put the Bruins on the clock at high noon.
Oh, yeah.
We have an approach at the trade deadline. Some of our plans can be very one-note. But we're going to get to
a lot of things I want to see this team do.
We're going to get to the Bruins on the clock at high noon. I got some thoughts on the maybe potentially a brag of the week situation here.
Whoa.
But I was in the house for Wemby last night.
No way.
In the house.
You were at the game?
I was at the game.
The Garden?
TD Garden.
Celtics game?
Wemby.
Wow.
Sick brag, bro.
Man, you and Greg Hill at the game together?
Yeah, I think there was a bit of a gap between where our seats were. But yes, I was at the Celtics game last night.
Well, leave it to us to talk up Wemby all day long and then have that.
Classic. I think the last time I did this, I was talking up Ja Morant before Tatum just dropped like 40 on his head and Morant stunk.
Yeah.
So let's face the music on our Wemby takes from yesterday and give you some thoughts on the Celtics at the All-Star break next.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Peyton Pritchard will dribble this thing out. Well, folks, will be smiling a lot during the All-Star break. The Celtics are playing some great basketball. They've won 7 of their last 8 heading into the hiatus, and now 5 in a row against the San Antonio Spurs.
Tatum, enjoy your break. You deserve it.
He's earned it.
Celtics have reached the All-Star break.
They sure have.
The Red Sox there.
Nope.
Celtics reached the All-Star break second in the East. They're 39-16, 17-10 at home, 22-6 on the road.
Big home win.
Underwhelming home record, but they did win at home.
Home win. Are you 2-0 going to home games?
Yes, actually.
This year
yes,
for the Cs?
They beat the Bulls when I went a few weeks ago. And, yeah, I mean, I don't mean to brag and drag this out, but I was in the building for the future face of the NBA.
It's pretty amazing.
Victor Wembanyama last night.
Sick brag, bro.
I didn't want to draw too much attention to it, but thank you.
Wiggy is not a big Wemby guy, and then last night didn't help all the Wemby heads out there because he was not great.
Keith, look, sometimes you got to try to call your shot. And I was trying to, in advance of a big performance from Wemby, get out there how good Wemby is. And it turns out we talked him up for him to crap his pants last night. Not as obviously as Jimmy Butler crapped his pants last night.
We'll get into that in great detail later.
No, we have.
Nobody can cover that.
We almost canceled the Bradford hit because of this Jimmy Butler day.
Bad night for whites.
Yeah, really. That was a tough go.
It was gruesome.
Imagine being like, we just traded for a guy who defecated on the court.
No, we're going to get to it, though.
All right, sorry.
Wembanyama figuratively crapped his pants.
I stand by my overall Wembanyama thoughts from yesterday, whereas if I'm the Celtics, by no means am I trading Tatum for Wembanyama. Tatum's way more valuable to the Celtics now and in the near and long-term future than Wembanyama would be. But you can't ignore how good he is at 21, project him forward a little bit, and to think, hey, maybe he might be the best player in the NBA in short order. At some point, I mean, LeBron, Curry, Durant, none of those guys are the best player right now, but they're all going to be out of the league at some point. Jokic is the best player. How long is that going to last for? And then it's going to be guys like Tatum, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards, et cetera, kind of fighting for that. And this guy, like, he wasn't good last night. He wasn't. He's in his second year. And he's 21 years old. I think overall, I'll bet on him. I think he's going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, so me too. I don't think he is.
He had
a bad night, and it was a bad night.
Yeah, he actually screwed me on a parlay that Turp and I cooked up.
Mm.
It was threes for Porzingis, hit, threes for Tatum, hit, over 3.5 steals and blocks for Wemby.
Mm.
Didn't get it.
I also was on. Did I mention I was in the building last night?
You went to the game?
I was there last night. So I was on Wemby blocks didn't hit.
No.
I also was on Porzingis first three of the game.
Did that hit?
No, it did not. Hit.
Oh.
No. So I was
I was
over last night. I don't know what I'm going to be able to afford.
I just got to play the sick brag thing.
Yeah, but going to the game, priceless.
I don't know if when I can afford tickets to the next one after my betting last night.
No, that's true.
But so look, I still stand by Wemby as a future face of the NBA. I still look at him as one of, on my list, two untradeable players in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm the Celtics, I'm not kicking away the opportunity at a championship and making that hypothetical swap.
Can't do it.
But if I'm San Antonio, I definitely am not trading for Tatum. Here's what I liked about last night
Tatum
from the Celtics standpoint.
Sick.
Well,
Tatum was pretty sick.
He was awesome.
Yeah. He's had a good run. Was it 3-4 games in a row now?
So this is what I want to ask. Do you think he's just locked in and hot, or do you think there was a little extra edge to him because it is Wemby on the other side? And he looks at it and says, it's not your league yet, or people are over. Like, do you think he had a little added edge because of who was on the other side last night?
No.
I don't either because that's not how he is, but I like to think he did.
No, because there's been times where I've kind of predicted that and it hasn't happened. Like, you know, Kyrie on the other side.
Even the Kerr game earlier this year.
Right. So it didn't happen. I don't know what it is. Maybe he just was sick of the team kind of going up and down because they had been two wins, one loss, two wins, one loss, one win, one loss, like for too long, right? They weren't great in December and January. And also maybe they kind of viewed it as, hey, guys, play hard this stretch. I know he's going to be in the All-Star game, but what, like, you get time off. Let's finish strong here until the All-Star break. We have a week to sort of regroup, and then we'll finish the season strong. Like, maybe he kind of viewed that as like a little bit of a deadline. I know some people were giving Mazzulla credit from a few games ago where at halftime, talked to Tatum came out of their 20-point third quarter.
Yeah, I think Andy Hart is one of those who thinks he got through to Tatum and kind of
possible
shook him awake. Yeah,
yeah, possible. I mean, it does go on stretches like this. Like, you can't be first team All NBA for four consecutive years if you don't play like this for a while.
No, I mean, Tatum, I don't want to give him too much credit for that Sixers game because they were down 26 to one of the worst teams
in
the league.
That was surprising.
But since then, I mean, this team has been on, and he individually has been on quite a run. I thought he was spectacular last night.
Yeah, no Brown, no Holiday.
And it was another game where he basically didn't play, and I don't think he did play at all
in
the fourth quarter last night. So that was a potentially monstrous performance if you got more out of San Antonio on the other side. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the Celtics at the All-Star break, now officially here. If you want to poke fun at our Wemby takes from yesterday, today's a good day to do that.
Sure.
Since we were very complimentary, and then he went out and threw up that stink bomb.
It was not great.
Almost Jimmy Butler style. last night.
Not quite.
We're going to put the Bruins on the clock at the trade deadline every Thursday. We like to put 60 seconds on the clock, give you our plan, in this case for the Bruins, now that there is no roster freeze, by the way, at the Four Nations International Beanpot. So you can make trades. Bruins technically can make moves right now. What should they do? We'll put them on the clock, and we'll reset our thoughts on Alex Bregman, now a Boston Red Sox. All of that next.